Howdy. Thanks for coming along. This is the Evening Chores Podcast, presented by Adobe Owl Ranch. We're located in the high desert of southeastern Arizona, and the goal of this podcast is to provide some insight and information regarding raising livestock and potentially gardening in the high desert environment we have here, the arid desert type environment, which doesn't get quite as dreadfully hot as, oh, say, Phoenix or the surface of the sun. I hope you enjoy it. Please listen in, subscribe, all that good stuff. Thank you. Hey, good evening, everybody. This is Noah here at Adobe Owl Ranch, and I'm out doing my evening chores, although I suppose these is nighttime chores at this point. But nevertheless, I'm doing them. I have been out of circulation here for a while, and I actually have some stuff in the can, you might say, recorded, but I've got to go back and find it. I can't figure out where I put it. Well, that's not quite accurate. I know where I put it, but I don't remember what it was about. So I've got to go and see if it was even worth listening to. But anyway, be that as it may, I am currently out here going through my, it has gotten warm enough now that my hogs need their sprinklers again, and it's April. Early, I don't know, in April, I forget what day it is today. If I'm at work, it's one of those weird things where I don't keep track. If I was at work, I'd probably be able to tell you exactly what day it is. But it didn't occur to me just now what day it is, so. Oh, hello, Biggie. That's a little boar there, running around, so. I have gotten the sprinkler set up for the hogs which need it. I've got a couple others that are going to get set up, but they still have a way to stay cool unrelated to the sprinklers, so it's a work in progress as we'll see going forward, I'm sure. Since the last time I did a podcast, and these may come in out of order. As I said, I've got some others that were in the can there. I have, I got my little white truck. I knew it would go. I just had been not paying attention to it. So if you follow on the YouTube page, the truck that I put a starter on back, a year and a half or so ago, finally got around to changing a fuel filter to start right up. So that actually is going to be for sale. So I've got a genuine Adobe Owl Ranch work truck. And you happen to live in Arizona or, I guess, western New Mexico, hit me up. I have one of those that will be for sale here very soon. 96 Chevrolet four-door long bed, four-wheel drive, diesel, one-ton truck, and let's see, with the manuals, NV 4500 in it, and I also put in put the gilts in with Wilbur, and he's presumably gotten around to doing his part of the work, and hopefully we'll have some piglets here within the next, when did those go in? They went in the end of February some point, and if all goes well, we will have some piglets in June, July, if I remember right. I think last day. End of June, beginning of July, maybe. Something like that. So, so hopefully. Now, if that doesn't take on either one of them, that means that Wilbur is no good as a boar and will be good as sausage, and we will move on to option B and C. Option B probably being putting a little boar in, and option C being doing artificial insemination, which is probably going to become option A here for too long, but we'll see. There we go. Oh. Feed prices have gone up, so if you were thinking you were going to wait until, I don't know, spring or summer for cheaper meat, that was a gamble which has not paid off for you. Went up a couple of dollars per hundredweight out here. I'm not really sure what it's done the rest of the country, because we're in a different sort of a place here. Now, for me, because I'm mostly a hobbyist, that is annoying, but not a deal breaker. If you are a farmer, which this is your only job, which is probably not the folks listening to this podcast, honestly, but if you know some of these farmers, they are going to be struggling a lot more, and that price will have to be passed on, because I can tell you, the person who looks at these numbers, nowhere is that is there the profit margin to cover for that kind of price increase, especially over such a short amount of time. And I'm not going to claim any great I guess economic insight, but I can tell you it is not all due to the current instability in Eastern Europe, Russia, Ukraine, that whole thing. That is part of it. It is not all of it. Inflation also had its share to do with it. The fuel prices going up have had something to do with it as well. There's just a lot of compounding factors, many of which, honestly, I think are domestic, but some are undoubtedly international, or compounded by international issues. So I guess that's all I have to say about that. Keep in mind, this is basically a stream of consciousness today, as I do my chores and just how things jump up to me. I have been hearing disturbing news that there is a bird flu epidemic, and that is concerning to me, because I've heard it's in the Midwest, and I purposefully, this time, purchased my turkeys from, or I pre-ordered, I should say, I guess, my turkeys from a hatchery in Missouri, so I'm hoping that that was not a bad call. We will see, I guess, later on. Those should arrive also in July. And we will find out then just how bad of an idea that was. Obviously, there was no way to tell at that point. However, I have been thinking, because of that, of getting some young broiler chicks, and from the local place here. I'm not actually sure where that comes from, which worries me a little bit, but I've been thinking about getting some of those and keeping them very separated, just so we do have some poultry, move a pig, just so we do have some poultry for use this year, because we're running through the chicken that I processed last year. And yes, I, as any of you who have been listening for some time know, yes, I do process our own poultry here. It seems like a kind of a terrible thing to have happen when the everything else is already going up, and then you have a disease come along and knock out a bunch of the, what has historically been the cheaper meat. You folks have no idea how close I came to nearly shocking myself just now on this electric fence. Anyway, unrelated, as it were. So the price of chicken is likely to go up. Now we'll see about the price of turkey. So I don't really keep very good track of how, I can't remember when that business is done. You know, I'm sure some of those turkeys are already in the freezers, honestly, or I like to think at least that I know that some of them are in the freezer already. Obviously here at Adobe All Ranch, even if there were to be no turkeys in the grocery store this fall, we would have the capability to have a turkey nonetheless, as I still have a couple which are in the freezer and would be good absolutely to that point. Me being the kind of person that I am, I might consider selling that turkey, or, well, I say that, I would honestly probably give it away before we ate it here, and we'd just have, I don't know, ham or something. Because as much as I enjoy turkey, I know some people that, you know, Thanksgiving just is not Thanksgiving without a turkey. For me, we have other kinds of meat around. For you, if you live in any sort of a situation where you have the capability to raise any kind of livestock, and let me tell you, it, you do, there's very few places where you can't have anything if you put your mind to it. For you folks who think you're in that sort of a situation, then you need to go out and find yourself someone who can, some sort of a farming operation, and you need to find a way to patronize that person and give them some of your hard-earned money in return for some hedging of bets against, you know, losses and things like that on both your part for, you know, food, meat, you know, sustenance, that kind of thing, as well as on their part, as this is a risky business. But if you are in a position in which you have, oh, say you live in suburbia somewhere and you have a 1-acre lot, I guarantee there's a way that you can have something there. You know, if it's a, quite honestly, if there are rules against it, well, then work to change them, or work to work around them, or quite honestly, work to work under them, the think of what the spirit of such rules might be. So if you think about anti-livestock rules, what might they have to do with? I would imagine noise and aroma. Well, with proper selection of livestock, you can avoid a lot of the noise, and with proper care and composting of the deliveries that that livestock makes, you can also remove that aroma. So you need to look into that if you're in that kind of a place. And I have heard of people who, you know, they raise meat rabbits or things of that kind in their garage or, you know, in the backyard. You'd be surprised, you know, if your neighbors come over and they're very worried about the fact that you have rabbits there. Well, for one thing, most people don't think of rabbits as a meat animal, but they can be, absolutely. If they come over and they're inquisitive. And there's the line between livestock and pet is very blurry. So, for example, I have very tame hogs that I would never consider to be a pet. But, oh no, dogs are not to bark real loud. So, but even though I don't think of my hogs as pets in any way, if you were to come out here and see me rubbing one of these hogs behind the ears, you might reach the conclusion that they are a pet. Well, if I thought you were going to have try to get me into some sort of trouble over those animals, I might not disabuse you of that notion. So, take away from that what you will, but world needs more farmers, not less. So please do so. If you are in a position where you can move out of the city and into the country, such as, well, I guess we moved from, well, I don't know, I guess it was a suburb. I don't even know what it was that we lived in before. We came out here, and then we lived in town, no doubt. We lived on a tiny little property, of which there was, even by my standards, very little ability to do anything. There was a possibility for some small things, if you know, gardening, if nothing else, but we extended our commute by, let's say, now, this is a small town, but we extend the commute by 15, maybe 20 minutes. I don't actually think we added that much to it, but we added a little bit and are now at a place where we can raise livestock and we'll fit in with our neighbors. And I can butcher said livestock here on the property and not offend at all said neighbors. And now I do try to be a hospitable neighbor to the folks who live near me. I try to keep the smell down, and I might occasionally offer to provide to some of my neighbors free of charge some of the things which come off of this property, but, you know, that's just how I do it. There's nothing that says you have to. And I am by no means the best neighbor one could have, much to my own chagrin, I guess. But the point being, this is a thing that you can absolutely undertake. And it is not too late. There are folks who will tell you that, well, you're too late to the party. You know, you city slickers are just going to die, and that is absolutely incorrect. And anybody who says that, I would recommend that you probably don't listen to them anymore, unless they said it tongue in cheek, just as I did just now. Because there's no call for such alarmism. I'd say there's, even if you do, say, live in the country, or in the city where there is, I don't know, say you live in a small apartment in, New York City, since I can't think of anywhere else, then, you don't have much space to do much of anything other than grow some tomatoes, maybe, on your balcony. I don't think I'd grow tomatoes, but you get the point. You can grow a few vegetables, and that's pretty much it. Although, with everybody in New York having dogs, you could probably have, some rabbits or something. But what you still can absolutely do is you can go and find yourself a mentor in hunting and go out into the greater New York State area and you can learn how to hunt white-tailed deer, turkeys, all sorts of things like that, of which you can keep around for only the cost of a deep freeze and some electricity. So even if you can't do anything else, that will at least get you acquainted with the land. And honestly, even if you don't get anything, you will have, even if you don't, make your goal of killing and then, harvesting the meat from one of those animals, even if you don't do that, you will have gotten an awful lot from the experience of going out and learning and, and you'll probably have met some great people, and maybe that even could be a way in which you could depart that kind of an area. And just some thoughts as to ways that you could go about it. There are lots of other places in the country to work, let me tell you, because I work in one of those. And I work in a place that a lot of people don't want to work, being as close to Mexico as I am, and in the arid high desert as I am. And this was entirely foreign to me, having grown up in a place where there was a lot of it was regular rain. There weren't regular droughts by any means. It was, you kind of knew when the hard freeze would be every year. Well, this is a completely different place. And if I can figure out, I promise you can. The biggest step is to just start. If you can just begin, then, you're like 90% of the way there already. You just have to say to yourself, I'm going to figure this out, and then do go figure it out. I'm standing next to a place where there had been a puddle on my property. I couldn't quite understand until one day I thought, there's got to be a water leak under there. And I dug it up with the assistance of one of my friends. And sure enough, there was a water leak. And I had never dealt with that size of pipe. That might not be true. I might have dealt with it immediately before, but I had not, before that year, dealt with that size of pipe. And I had never done this kind of plumbing. And I went to the hardware store and eventually figured out how to do it all and put it all together. And now I'm standing next to it. It has not leaked yet. We have, I can open the lid on the thing to prove it to you, because now there's an access hatch there. Again, point being, hardest part, convincing yourself to start. If you spend all your time watching YouTube videos, you will not ever learn how to do anything for real. You'll learn how to do a lot of theories and how a lot of other people have done things. And I love, you know, instructional videos. I've made a lot of them. But if you never put that into practice, you're not actually improving yourself. One of the reasons why I love podcasts, and actually one of the reasons why I started a podcast, is because you can do this while you can listen to a podcast, I should say, while you are actually doing something. So my hope is, as you listen to me drone on and on, you are building yourself a raised bed garden, you're building yourself a milking stanchion for your, I don't know, sheep, goats, don't get goats, but cow, you're building a fence, you're sitting at your drafting table figuring out how you can either afford a property or build a thing or something. And let me tell you, it's very doable. You just got to decide you want to. That's the biggest part. So, I believe with that, I will bid you adieu. Adieu, I guess. My pronunciation is pretty poor today. But, I realize that I'm going to figure out how to put some more poultry in my freezer this year. That's going to happen. And you can do the same thing. They make some noise, but within 6 to 8 weeks, you can go from some very small, cute, yellow feathered chicks to, oh, I don't know, 5 to 8 pound, maybe more. I accidentally let one get to 10 pounds. Dressed and skinned once chicken. So don't do that. I don't recommend it. But go find yourself a place to buy some broilers, I say, before the price hikes hit. You might want to go ahead and get yourself, I don't know. I can't remember the amount per bird at this point, but go buy yourself some feed too. Yeah, broilers are one of those rare things where you could actually buy all the feed up front and the birds up front, have no added cost other than your time and a little bit of water when you butcher them. And if you already have a freezer, and the same day that you go and get your broilers, it wouldn't be a bad idea to start making ice in that freezer for the day that you decide that you're going to butcher them, so then you don't have to buy any ice. And also, keeping big bottles of ice in your freezer will make it run more efficiently. Anyway, that's enough for me. This is almost half an hour now, probably over half an hour by the time we get intro and outro and everything in there. So I just want to say I appreciate your time listening to me ramble on. And please, I'm going to try to put that in the show notes, how you can send me a voice message. I'd love to hear it, hear what you have to say, ways that this could be better, things that you think actually could be worse. That'd be fun for me to entertain. But on a serious note, send me, you know, your suggestions or compliments or detractions, whatever it is that you think, and I'll incorporate those as best as I can if they are, you know, if they're something that can be actually worked. Once again, thank you, and good night. Go out and do your chores. Bye-bye. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. I appreciate you listening all the way through like this. And if you would, please share it out. You know, you can go right to the website. You can get the URL there if you're into the RSS sort of a thing. Or you can go to iTunes or Spotify, you know, Amazon Podcast. It's all kinds of places. Oh, look at that. I just caught a pig sleeping in the feeder.
They're crazy animals. It's a sleepy world here. Anyway, please go to those places, rate, subscribe, share. That helps the reach of the podcast. And, you know, it's nice on my end, I'll be honest, it's a little bit selfish for me, but it's nice to know that I'm not just speaking into the abyss, that somebody's actually listening. So if you want to send a comment, actually, if you want to send a comment that's more individualized, you can send it to eveningchores@gmail.com, and I'll get it that way. I appreciate you listening. Thanks, and good night.